Support for NPR comes from Cargill. Collaborate, create, succeed. This is how Cargill works with customers. Stories online at cargillcreates.com.
Good morning. This is AM 580 News. I'm Michael Kuliska. A jury has heard explicit testimony from two men who claim a defrocked Jesuit priest forced them to commit sexual acts over several years. Lawyers for 78-year-old Donald McGuire of Oaklawn portrayed the witnesses in federal court Friday as gold diggers seeking legal damages from the Catholic Church. Both men were identified only by first names. They testified McGuire forced them to masturbate, look at pornography, and participate in daily rub-downs with oil. The now 22-year-old alleged victims testified the abuse lasted until 2003. The Vatican ordered McGuire out of the priesthood earlier this year. A Georgetown couple was killed yesterday after their car hit a fully loaded grain truck hauling soybeans. The crash occurred on Lincoln Trail Road east of 200 E Road in Vermilion County. Identities of the victims have not been released. This incident is still under investigation by the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department and the Vermilion County Coroner's Office. The state of Illinois will recognize 30 individuals for keeping alive the memory of Abraham Lincoln. They'll receive the state's highest honor next year, Sean Crawford reports.
Those who'll be awarded the Order of Lincoln include authors, historians, artists, and collectors. Dave Blanchett is with the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency.
So it's a very eclectic mix of people who in some way have had some sort of defining influence on Lincoln and his legacy.
The list includes individuals from throughout the world. Among those from Illinois being honored, Cullum Davis, founder of the Lincoln Legal Papers Project, Julie Cellini, who helped spearhead the Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield, Ron Keller, curator of the Lincoln College Museum, and John McClary, a Lincoln sculptor from Decatur. Also, artist Don Pollock, state historian Tom Schwartz, author Wayne Temple, sculptor Lily Tolpo, author and owner of Chicago's Abraham Lincoln Bookstore Dan Weinberg, as well as Doug Wilson and Rodney Davis of Knox College. The awards will coincide with the 200th anniversary of Lincoln's birth. I'm Sean Crawford.
Next report of AM 580 News will be at 8:04. This is AM 580 News. I'm Michael Kuliska.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. The fall meetings of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank resume today in Washington. At the top of the agenda, the financial meltdown that the IMF says could send the world into recession. NPR's John Idzdi has been following the story and has this report.
The weekend of meetings began on Friday afternoon. G7 finance ministers and central bankers huddled to try to come up with coordinated action that would unfreeze credit markets and restore confidence in the financial system. When the officials emerged, they vowed to do everything necessary to solve the crisis and issued a 5-point action plan focusing on strengthening banks and unfreezing credit. President Bush met with the G7 officials and the heads of the IMF and World Bank at the White House yesterday. He urged collaboration in meeting the challenge.
All of us recognize that this is a serious global crisis and therefore requires a serious global response for the good of our people. We resolve to continue our strong efforts to return our economies to the path of stability and long-term growth.
But the G7 statement left it to each country to determine how to implement the action plan, and that left some Wall Street traders and investors disappointed, especially those who had hoped the G7 would adopt a British proposal to have governments guarantee interbank lending, which is at the heart of the credit crunch. Late yesterday afternoon, the head of the IMF, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who was involved in the development of the G7 plan, defended it as just the concrete action the markets are looking for. He pointed to the first bullet point in the plan, in which the G7 countries agree to prevent the failure of vital financial institutions.
That's a very important thing, both for people working in markets and for a simple citizen, that no one is going to let an important financial institution to fail.
There's a good deal of doubt, though, that the G7 plan will quickly restore confidence to battered financial markets, since many of its elements will take time to implement. The IMF, whose primary concern is developing economies, fell in line behind the G7 proposal during a meeting of its managing committee yesterday. Strauss-Kahn said